All right, today we're going to conclude our series, Stronger. My hope and prayer is that you have grown stronger in this series. You need to be growing stronger in this series. So turn to your neighbor and say, I'm getting stronger today. Come on, let me hear you say, I'm getting stronger today. How about you? You should be getting stronger. It's one of the things that I believe is so important that you just don't come to church because you are doing your religious duty. No, you should be coming to church, number one, to praise and engage and worship with other believers, because the Bible says very clearly, don't forsake coming together, worshiping together, encouraging each other. But also, number two, that we are learning and growing. And so we make it no secret here. We want you to grow in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And this is one of those series. You should be growing. You should be getting stronger. As a father, one of the most important things I believe that we instill, this kind of comes as instinct, is that we want to instill and teach our children how to stand their ground, how to stand up and not to be pushed around, how not to be bullied. It's just something a father instinctively does. If your father was evident and there and present in your life, you know that he probably pushed you on how to stand up for what you believe in, how to stand up and not to be bullied. Don't let people push you around, right? That's what we do. And don't let people take away from you what's yours. And through this series, we've been learning what not to do. We're learning that we're to stand our ground. The Bible says we are to put on the full armor of God and then learn to stand firm. And so what we are teaching is that you've been given a spiritual armor. You got to know this. If you don't know this, you are walking around not the way that God has designed. He has designed every follower of Jesus to walk around with the full armor of the Lord, walking around, standing firm to your ground. He doesn't want the enemy taking away from you what God has already given to you. Are you understanding today? You're not holding your ground. You're holding the ground that God's already given you. You're holding what Jesus has already won. You're not fighting to get victory. You're fighting already from a place of victory. Your job is to hold the ground that the Father has given to us. Today, we are called to stand our ground. We've been looking at this and talking about this through the different pieces of the armor. Let's quickly review those. We talked about in the first week about the belt of truth, how we are to put on the belt of truth, how it supports our core. That at our core, we got to know the truth about what God says about me, about who God says I am. You got to know those things at the foundation of your core. He says we're to lift up the shield of faith and put on the shoes of peace, walking in peace, lifting up our shield of faith. And then last week, we talked about putting on the helmet of salvation. I've got to protect my mind because the enemy is going to attack me in my mind. He's going to tell me God doesn't love me. He's going to tell me that I'm not good enough. He's going to tell me I've blown it way too much. And so every day I get up and know my salvation is not based on my performance. My salvation's based on my position in the family, that God has already redeemed me. God has given me his grace, not based on my merit, not based on what I've earned. It's grace given to me. And I'm reminded of my salvation daily. I protect my mind and reminded I am saved by grace. And then I protect my heart with the breastplate of righteousness. I realize this, that I have been made righteous before the Lord because of what Jesus did on the cross. And if God looks at me and says, you have been made righteous, it doesn't make a difference what anybody else says about me. God has already called me righteous. And so I protect my heart. I don't allow bitterness to settle there. I don't allow anger to get there. I protect my heart and keep it pure before the Lord. Now today, we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. This is a fun one today. We're going to have a good time. I hope you are ready. I hope you're taking notes and you're writing these things down. We're talking about the sword of the Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians 6:17. It says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so we realize today that this is the only offensive piece of weapon given to us in the armor. Everything else is protection, protecting our head, protecting our heart, protecting our core, protecting our feet. Lift up the shield, protecting us. All these things are protection, but the sword becomes the only piece of the armor, which is the offensive weapon given to us. I love these secret agent movies when they go downstairs, they take that big long elevator downstairs, and they open the door and they go into this massive man cave. And when they go there and they push a secret code in, and it takes them to a secret room, and all of a sudden, all these different weapons come everywhere. And all these guys are like, oh, yes. What a man cave, right? You see all these different weapons. You're like, oh, I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. I want that one. But I want you to understand the Bible only lists one offensive weapon that we need, and that's because we only need one offensive weapon. There's only one weapon that will defeat the enemy. There's only one weapon you need to learn to carry. It's the sword of the Spirit. Are you understanding the importance of why we've got to learn to carry the sword of the Spirit? Because it's the only thing that will defeat the enemy. It's the sword of the Spirit that he's given to you and I to use. It's called the Word of God. The Word of God becomes our sword of the Spirit. But in this verse, when he says, take up the sword of the Spirit, what he's not talking about is just any Bible. He's just not talking about pages on print, putting in a leatherback or a hardback cover. He's not talking about walking around like this. I got my Bible today. Nothing can defeat me. Nothing's going to harm me. I'm Mr. Spiritual. I'm Mrs. Spiritual. I got my Bible. I got my golden plate Bible. Hallelujah. Right there. You know, I whop the enemy in the head with it. It sounds good in theory, doesn't it? And it makes for good TV. But let me tell you that the Bible, just in print alone, has no power. I know that kind of offends you today. I'm not trying to devalue the Bible. It's the Logos, Word of God. But the power is not in just the written part of the Bible. I can walk around swinging this at you all day, and I may give you a little thump in the head. It may hurt a little bit, but it ain't going to defeat nobody. The weapon becomes when something else happens. Now, we go from reading the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, and understanding it. And when that happens, it becomes alive. It becomes revelation. Oh, I understand the Word. It's been written down. It's been given by God, inspired by God. It's been written down. And so when I hear a message preached, and then I gain understanding on the Bible, then I get a revelation. Then it becomes alive. I read it for myself, and I start getting stronger, and I start understanding it. It's called revelation. And I will tell you this, when you read the Word of God and you're not a Christian, it's not the easiest thing to understand. You ever struggled reading the Bible before you were saved? And then you try reading it after you're saved, and all of a sudden you're like, wow, I understand this. Oh, my Lord, thank you, Jesus. I'm understanding this now. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and give it understanding to you when you submit your life to Christ. It's just, you look through things newly, and the Holy Spirit will reveal. You hear a message. You're like, oh, that makes so much sense now. It's what the Holy Spirit does. But in itself, let me tell you this, in itself, having revelation about what the Bible says is not where the power lies. It comes alive, but the power is found in the rhema word of the Lord. The word rhema means to utter it out, the spoken word of God. That's where the secret is. That's where the power lies. The power is not just in the words written on pages. The power is just not having understanding. But when I stand in that understanding and I speak it out against the enemy, then it comes alive. Then it becomes a weapon to me. Then it becomes something that I can stand in the face of my enemy. It becomes the sword of the Spirit that will defeat any enemy. It will defeat any bad spirit. It will defeat anything that the devil is trying to conquer you with. It will knock him upside his head, and he cannot stand it. Why? It's my secret weapon. It's the spoken word of the Lord. And so you got to learn to speak the word of the Lord. It's not just about understanding. Listen, you can have, look at this statement, you can have a whole warehouse full of Bibles and not own a sword of the Spirit. Think about that. Some of us think, well, you know, I got my sword. I got my sword of spirit. It's going with me. No. It don't become a weapon until you speak it out. I can have a whole car load of Bibles in my trunk, but if I don't speak it out, they're just written words on paper. They don't come alive until I get revelation and then speak it out of my heart, speak it out of my spirit, speak it out. I got to learn to speak out the word of God. You got to learn to stand up in the face of the enemy and talk back to him and say, this is what the word of God says. This is where the power lies. He's talking about this, that we learn to do this. Listen, first it's printed, then I get revelation of what I've read. I get revelation of what I'm hearing preached. And then when I say it back out in my spirit and I say it to the enemy and I speak it out over my family and I speak it out over my life and I speak it out over my children, when I speak it out, then it becomes a weapon. Then it becomes the sword of the spirit when I speak it out. Look at Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is what? Alive and powerful. The word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between the soul and the spirit, cutting between the joint and the marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. See, the word of the God, it comes alive in me, and it takes my soul and divides it from my spirit. My spirit, man, is what connects to God. My soul carries my personalities, my wants, my desires, and I've got to have the Holy Spirit come in and cut me and say, no, I can't live my life based on my own desires. God, it's what do you want in my life? And so first, it becomes a weapon in my life, and then I take it out, and when I face the enemy, it cuts also and defends the enemy from attacking my life. It makes them back away, but I can't be afraid to use it. I got to understand how to use it. Don't let the enemy push you around. Listen, if I could tell you anything as your pastor today and encourage you as your number one cheerleader today spiritually, don't let the enemy push you around. He doesn't have control over your life. You can stand up and hold your ground, stand firm on what God has done in your life. Come on now, you got to learn to stand firm. I want you to stand up against the enemy and take your sword of the spirit and use it. God created the power of the spoken word. John 1:1 says it like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? With God. So before the Word ever made it to print, the Word was alive. Before the Word was ever revealed to man, the Word was alive. Who was with the Father? In the beginning, we know the Son was there. It's the Spirit of Jesus. This is the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And He was with God in the beginning. Through Him, all things were made. Without Him, nothing made has been made. And so what we understand is simply this, that when you use the sword of the Spirit, you are using the power of the spoken word of God. What kind of power does that hold? Well, the Bible goes on to tell us that when God looked out and He created the heavens and the earth, what did He say? He spoke out and said, let there be light. And boom, there was light. He created the whole universe with the spoken word. He created everything with the spoken word. That His power of His word, everything must obey the power of the word of God. He can take things that are dead. He can take things that look dark, darkness, and He can speak new life into them. He can speak something out of nothing and create something beautiful. It's the power of the spoken word of God. We got to realize that every time I speak the written word of God, I'm not just speaking my own authority. I'm walking in the authority that God has given me. I unlock the authority. It's the sword of the Spirit. The enemy must obey the alive spoken word of the Lord. He has no choice. He must bow. He must submit. He must flee the spoken word of the Lord. Matthew 4:3, look at this example. Remember when Jesus had been fasting for 40 days? He was just getting ready to start His public ministry. He went off into the wilderness and He prayed and He fasted for 40 days. And at the end of that fast, it says the tempter came to Him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, it is written. Remember that. That was Jesus' response. It is written. And he goes on to tell him, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And so what we see happening here is that Jesus begins to show us the way that we defeat the enemy is through the spoken word of the Lord. Jesus did this. Listen, what we don't see here is a long argument. We don't see this long debate. We don't see this long argument. Listen, some of you, I've watched you get into arguments on Facebook. I'm like, just give me the popcorn, you know. I'm just watching. You go all day long, you be arguing back and forth with people. And you ain't changing nobody's mind. If nothing, you guys have just gotten mad at each other. Listen, when you argue with the enemy, you don't have to do that. You don't have to argue with the enemy. Devil, I'm going to argue with you all day long. No, Jesus defeated him with two sentences. First one, it is written, and then he quoted the verse, man shall not live by bread alone. It was no long drawn out debate, no long drawn out fight. He defeated him with the simple word of the Lord. But it's so powerful when it's spoken out. And then Satan says, all right, I'll take you up to the highest point of the temple in the city. And he says, if you really are the Son of God, then cast yourself down and let his angels come and catch you. I mean, why would he be tempting him that way? Because he was basically saying, if God really loves you, he'll save you. Jump off and see what he does. And Satan, he goes, Satan, it is written, you do not put the Lord your God to test. Then one more time, it says he took him to the highest mountain over the whole region, and overseeing all the kingdoms. And he says, all right, you just bow to me and you worship me. And I'll make sure all these kingdoms worship you. And that doesn't seem like it's an appealing thing to us. This is Jesus. Why would he need Satan to have the kingdoms worship him? Remember that Jesus was going to have to go the way of the cross. Remember, Jesus was, that's the reason why he was fasting and praying. He knew that once he stepped into public ministry, it was going to start the clock ticking for him to endure the cross. And so he knew, his physical man knew the kind of pain. He knew the kind of rejection he was going to face. And Satan knew that as well and was like, okay, you can have all this without having to go to the cross. Just bow down and worship me. You see how he's tempting him there? But what did he say? No, Satan, it is written. What did he say? It is written. You should not bow to no man. He says, it is written, Satan. Only bow and worship the Lord your God. See, Jesus defeated him with the spoken word of the Lord. See, Jesus needed the written word. So the living word needed the written word to defeat the enemy of the word. Are you understanding that? The written word, Jesus, needed the spoken word. He had to speak out the written word to defeat the enemy of the word. Let me ask you this. Are you better than Jesus? No. Why would you say that? Because I think some of us actually think we're better than Jesus. Because we think we can defeat the enemy on our own, and we never use the sword of the Spirit which was given to us to defeat the enemy. I want you to learn how to use the sword of the Spirit. See, Jesus goes through all these things. Jesus goes through all three of these temptations, and with one sentence. Look at this statement. Jesus didn't just know what the Bible says. He opened up his mouth and spoke what the Bible says. See, Jesus spoke out from the word. The living word spoke out the word. He needed that to defeat the enemy. How much more do you and I need that to defeat the enemy? It's our secret weapon. It's the weapon of defense he's given to us. This is what allows us to hold our ground. You got to learn to speak out the word in the face of your enemy. Quit being spiritually bullied all your life. Quit letting the enemy push you around. If you're new to Destiny, you probably never heard me tell this story. And I want to share with you today because I feel like it really fits the sermon. And it's a story, but when we were first married, my wife and I, shortly after we were married, began to try to have children. And we had several miscarriages in that time. And my wife is a very positive person. We're both very positive people. But I remember one day coming home, and when I walked in, she hadn't done anything but just cry all day long. It was very evident she hadn't left the chair. And she was just there crying. And some of those miscarriages were you know, they were long drawn out things, and the babies were already 4 and 5 and 6 months along. So it just was just heartbreaking. And I remember I walked in one day and she was crying, and she says, "I just feel like we're never ever gonna have a baby." Now, what I'm about to tell you guys is you gotta know when the Spirit is leading you, because I just took my life into my own hands when I said this. But it was something that I felt the Spirit really bowled up in me to say. I said, "Honey, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus." Now, don't do that unless you really know God's leading you, okay? But at the time she was speaking, I didn't feel like it was her speaking. I sensed the presence of death trying to attach itself to my home. And I said, "Honey, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I said, I declare the word of the Lord over your life, over my life, over our home. There shall be life and not death. You're the God of life and you're not the God of death. God, there's going to be a home full of children. And God, I speak that out in Jesus' name." I walked over to the back door. I flung open our double glass doors and I said, "Devil, get the spirit of death out of here. You're not welcome in my home. No weapon formed against us will prosper in the name of the Lord." I'd never done that before, but it was something that dwelled up in me, and I felt this spiritual boldness come on. And for the first time, I stood up to the enemy, eye to eye. I said, "Devil, not today." I looked at him eye to eye in the spirit realm. I said, "You will not have my family." And I spoke the word of the Lord, and someone said, "Did it work?" Well, 5 kids later, you tell me the answer. Come on now. I'm telling you, our God's the God who defeats the enemy. But sometimes we just gotta stand up and speak when we feel the Spirit prompting us. Speak out with that sword of the Spirit. You gotta know how to do that. It's been often, many times in my life in ministry, where I just simply had to have those moments where me and the enemy got eye to eye. When I looked into the face of the heart of the enemy and said, "Devil, not today. You're not gonna steal, you're not gonna kill, and you're not gonna destroy." And I spoke the word of the Lord, and he left me because he had no choice. I love this in Matthew 4:10-11. At the end of Jesus' temptation, Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then what happened? Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. Listen, today, many of you are asking the question, why is the devil always picking on me? Why am I always being attacked? Could it be the reason why he's picking on you and attacking you is because he knows you won't have the spiritual guts to stand up and speak out? Until you stand up and speak to the enemy, he's going to keep pushing on you. He's going to keep picking on you. You're an easy target. But when you stand up and say, "Devil, it is written, no weapon formed against me and my family is going to prosper in the name of the Lord." And you begin to speak the promises of God over your life. You don't have to have the whole Bible memorized, but you should have 3 or 4 really good key verses that you are memorizing for those moments when you feel the enemy coming against you, that you can stand up and pull out your sword of the Spirit and say, "Devil, not today." And he must leave you. He has no authority in your life. But you got to stand up. I remember one time, one of my children came home in middle school and they were upset because during the lunchtime, one of their friends had been verbally attacking them and was bullying them with their words, trying to embarrass them and really attacking some things in their life that were soft spots. And I talked to him about the consequences, and we said, well, that's our options here. I said, first of all, you're bigger than him, so you could probably just punch him and knock him out. But if you do that, you're going to get in trouble. So he hasn't attacked you. He's just attacking with words. And I'm like, you know, you can be the bigger man. Just ignore him. But, you know, words hurt, don't they? And this person was intentionally trying to embarrass him anytime there was a crowd of people. I said, let's just go to the counselor and talk to your teacher or your counselor and tell him what's going on. No, Dad, can't do that. You know that, right? Can't do that. Snitches get stitches, right? You know the whole thing. So I'm not going to tattletale. I'm not going to go snitch on this person. Everybody will know and call me a snitch. I said, well, one more option. This is where I won Dad of the Year. Don't judge me. I said, well, you know, I said, who's the boy's name? He told me, and I said, all right. Just next time he does that, and he's around a group of people, you just come back and say this to him. And I told him exactly what to say. I said, and I promise you, it'll embarrass him, and he won't do it again. Can I do that? I said, well, only if he does it first. I know, Dad of the Year, right? I know. Come on. I'm not going to ever help your kids do something you shouldn't do. Okay, so I told him what to say. I argued him with the words to say. And next time it happened, he said these words. That person got beat red. Everybody else laughed. And he never, ever did it again. He never stood up and bullied him again with those words because he stood up and he spoke back. See, the enemy's going to keep pushing at you. The enemy's going to keep poking at you. The enemy's going to keep speaking at you. It's going to keep coming at you until you get up and you speak the word of the Lord back. And then he will flee from you. He will leave you. He doesn't want to be around the spoken word of the Lord. Why? Because the spoken word of the Lord has already declared, I am victorious. I am more than a conqueror. That I'm going to spend eternity with heaven, with Jesus, and that he's going to be cast down into the lake of fire. Therefore, he knows his destiny. He doesn't want to hear anything about his destiny. And so when you speak out the word of the Lord, he won't stand. He must leave that. It says the word of the Lord is sharper than any two-edged sword. And so I remember one time the Lord gave me this revelation that it was once spoken. The word of the Lord was once spoken, put into print, written down. And then when I speak it out, it becomes a twice spoken word. The Bible is sharper than any twice, two-edged sword. But it doesn't gain that sharpness until I speak it out. I'm going to close with a story today. I remember one time several years ago, I used to do a lot of speaking in the camp circle with teenagers. I was a youth pastor for about 12 years, and I was traveling in the summertime. I'd go around the different states, and I had a lot of people who would ask me to come and speak camps for the summer camps. And it was, it's like this happened quite a bit. I'd be at camp, and when you're the camp speaker at a youth camp, you know, it's like you're the spiritual guru of the camp, you know. Everybody looks to you, and of course you bring the word. I remember one night, I was there late, and we'd already finished service up, and I went back to my room, was resting, and they got a knock on the door. We need you back in the auditorium. I said, what's wrong? I said, well, we've been praying for this girl, and there's a demon that's right there on this girl, and we don't know what to do. So I get dressed, I go down there, and I think one of the reasons why we have a hard time is that we see Hollywood, and Hollywood makes things seem the way they're not really. And so you've seen all these things happen, and Hollywood paints this picture of this person head spinning around, and you know, and all this stuff, and people throwing holy water. And so it's kind of paints the wrong picture of what spiritual authority means and some of the things that happen in the demonic presence. And sure enough, I was there, and they were right. This person was under demonic influence. I seen things that would make your hair in your back of your neck stand up if you were not right with God. I'm telling you, it was some evil things manifesting there. But I walked in, and they had the Word of God Bible opened up. It's like they went up, and they just, like, you know, put it on her chest, and they were praying for her. And I walked in and I just saw that Bible laying on her chest. And they're like, you know, I said, pick that Bible up. I said, now open it up. I told him my verse to poem through. I said, now I want you to read this Bible out loud. And as soon as they begin to read the Bible out and begin to speak the word, her spirit automatically calmed right down. Came back, and I just simply said, in the name of Jesus, Satan, you must leave this girl in Jesus' name. And immediately her spirit went back to normal. You know, sometimes we think that it's just coming in and we got to have this book and, you know, the power is just in the book. No, the power is not just in the book. It's in the revelation of the book. And then it's speaking it out in my spirit, speaking it out over the people you see. Listen, this is where the authority comes. This is where we get our spiritual strength. This is when it becomes a weapon, when I learn to let the rhema word of the Lord speak it out. Speak it out. Come on, speak it out. Don't let the enemy push you around any longer. Speak back to him. You've been given that authority. I want you to bow your heads. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus Christ. Whether you're in the auditorium, whether you're watching online, we want you to know today that this is where it all starts. It's the giving and surrendering of our life fully to Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus, we won't do anything to single you out, but we want to give you a chance to make that decision. If that's you, can you just raise your hand where you're sitting? Let me see if you're ready to surrender your life fully to Jesus Christ. Lift it where I can see it. Lift it high. Come on, today's your day. Now look at me today. If you're here and you're ready to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to say this prayer after me. If you're watching online, I want you to say it as well. Say, Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. I will live my life for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you made that decision today, say, welcome to the family of God. Put your hands together for them today. Let's give them a hand clap. Welcome.